fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That word also is patience. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. But to the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And tonight, I would like to talk on long-suffering. Now, I don't want to bore you tonight. This is a very serious topic. We have been lighthearted at other times, and it's been humorous. But this topic tonight strikes a different chord in this progression of this teaching. And I have a lot of young people that are in here, but young people, if you will listen up, I know sometimes that because it's not roller coaster speed until the wind's whipping in your face and forcing tears out of your eyes and you're on the straight drop. But I'm going to tell you something. The hour that we're headed into, if anything I teach in the fruit of the Spirit, this, I would say, is going to be one of the most important. Long-suffering, or the word patience. Everybody say patience. Amen. And we all have degree of patience. But let me say this. This is why this teaching tonight is for everybody. We all need more patience. I imagine Job could have said, Lord, I still need more patience. Teach me long suffering. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to make it in this last hour, this is going to be one of the key ingredients of you surviving. But not only surviving, but being successful for God. So please, whatever you got to do, if you got to put tax, and sit down on them. Keep yourself alert tonight. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And let's hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm teaching tonight on the fruit of the Spirit called patience. I'm asking Brother Kraft, he'll come back and pray over this teaching tonight. Let's pray with him, shall we?
Church, let's all pray, shall we? God, we thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. God, I understand that your word is already anointed. But God, now anoint our ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. God, anoint the man of God tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. God, let it get down on the inside of us and go with us. Let us not forget it, God, but let us carry it with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Everybody turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, we all need more patience. We all need more patience. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. There was a young man that aspired to be a writer. In particular, his vocation and achievement that he wanted to be a success in was in the realm of writing poems. He went through 20 years of rejection slips. 20 years. He would write volumes. They would be rejected. He would send poems to the various editors and book publishers, and every time he got a rejection slip. He said, it got so bad that the only one that knew that I was a poet was me. But he believed that he had that God-given talent. And so for 20 years, from the age of 19 until 39 years old, not one poem was published in one magazine or one book or one literary piece of literature. And at the age of 39, this man finally broke through and got a poem published. And from there, he became one of the most accomplished poets of all times. In matter of fact, his poems became so famous that his poems are now published in over 22 languages around the world. His books have sold millions. He won 4 Pulitzer Prize awards for literature in the realm of poems. His name is Robert Frost. He had patience. He had long suffering. He did not take any of the rejection slips that was pushed his way as saying that he couldn't do it. But he used the negative for the positive. And every poem became better than the one previous. He wasn't one who sat around in a pity party and said, I am nothing and nobody and I can't make it. But he, in the secular world, learned the power of perseverance, of stickability, of just getting in there and saying, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do it. Now, we're talking about somebody that didn't have the Holy Ghost. We're talking about somebody that could only believe in themselves, who had an understanding of long suffering and of the power of patience. Please do not ever underestimate the power of patience of somebody who knows what they are and who they are and where they're going, and they're willing to wait on it. There was a famous doctor, and this doctor by the name of Dr. George Kane, he wrote some very impacting articles upon man and success. And because of his being held by his peers in high esteem, this man's words carry great weight. And he mentioned, he said, there are some ingredients that's got to go into success. And so he began to list them off. And he said, a man's got to have talent, first of all. If you're going to be a success, there's got to be talent. He's got to have a sense of responsibility. And then he said, to be a success, there's got to also be a sense of duty. But he's astounded those who avidly read after him with this remark. He said, I also believe that if a man is going to be successful, or a woman, they must have this ingredient called physical stamina. Now, the people who knew about him were kind of in ponderment, wondering, physical stamina, what has that got to do with it? And then he went on to expound upon it, and this is what he said. He said, most successful people do not ever achieve that realm until later in life. He said, there is a progression and there is a time of development that comes in their life. Success rarely ever comes to young men and young women. He said, you rarely ever get the apex of your creativity and of your power until your later time in life. And you need that physical stamina to be able to hang on until you can strike fire with that realm of success. Now, Jesus said the people in the world in darkness, they're wiser than the children of light. That's right. And in other words, the Lord understood many times people in the secular realm have wisdom sometime far beyond God's own children. Let me tell you this. If that works in the realm of the secular, how much could we apply to the realm of the spiritual? Let me tell you something. You can grow a cabbage real quick, but it takes years to grow an oak tree. And there's something about it that when we get in the church of the living God, many times it takes us years to get there. And when we finally get there, we want an instant magic. I am a great man of God. I'm telling you, I'm a great woman of God, but it doesn't come that way. You want to be a cabbage head Christian? Fine. But if you want to be a mighty oak whose roots are planted deep, you might as well say, let me eat of the fruit of long suffering. Amen. If we're going to be successful for God, we're going to have that ingredient called spiritual endurance. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, amen, that is called long-suffering, really means patience. Enduring. I'd like for you to turn with me to a familiar scripture that you've heard mentioned many times, but I want you to get your pen out and I want you to underline it. You may not want to mark up your Bible, but go ahead and do it. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And believe me, this is going to be important. Though you've heard it many times, I want to say it over and over and over again until it sinks into your cranium. Amen. Matthew 24 and 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I never will forget my president of Bible College was teaching, and I can still see it. He was standing there, and his hand was lifted. He made this statement. He said, you can make up your mind what you want to be in God. He said, either you can make up your mind you're going to be a meteor that's going to flash through the night sky and leave a little brilliance, and then you're gone. Or you can be a lasting star. And I'd just gotten saved, and had just gotten in the church, and I was digging in for everything I was worth. And there were other kids sitting around me yawning and picking their fingernails and flipping through a book that wasn't even a Christian book and paying no attention. But I was young in the church, and I was hanging and clinging to every word, because I made up my mind when I got in, I'm going to see this thing through to the very end. He said, either you can be a flash in the pan or you can be real gold. It's whatever you want to be. You can either take your rejection slips in life and walk away and say, I'll never amount to nothing. Or you can use every day building on the next and say, you know what? Let me eat full of the fruit of patience. Praise God. Praise God. I called somebody today. Asked him would they be here tonight. And they said, yeah, I'll be there tonight. I'm going to be there. They're not here. They're not here. They're this kind that sometimes yes, sometimes no. They're like mercury. You just can't ever pull it together. It just slides right out of the hands. I want to be something that when God says, let's do it, he can look around and say, I can count on this one. He that endureth to the end, he that hath patience, is the one that's going to be saved. Brother Clark, I thought I was going to be casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. I thought how many miracles I could do. Oh, no. The race is not to the swift. I'm telling you now. I know people that can talk in tongues for 4 and 5 hours. But when the dust is cleared, you look for them, they ain't nowhere around. I'm here to tell you, you can talk in tongues more than anybody else and have that patience and that spirit of the fruit of patience, and you can make it. I believe you can have both of them. I really do. I have some people on one side that they're always go, 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 and you can't ever lock them into anything, and they don't have any patience. And then you got somebody on the other side saying, well, I don't want to be like that, so they go off the other side of the ditch. Well, let me ask you something. Why can't you have zeal and patience at the same time? Why can't you be on fire for God today and tomorrow, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? Anything wrong with being excited about living for God and yet being able to endure? Amen. I'd like for Brother Kraft, I want you to turn to Hebrews 3:14, and then Brother North, you'll turn to Hebrews 12:2. I want them to read these scriptures for you. And if you want to turn in your Bible, you can turn there also. First of all, Hebrews 3:14, Brother Kraft.
For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end.
Read it again. We are partakers?
For we are made partakers of Christ.
All right.
If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end.
Let me tell you something, friend. It's not he that begins his race, but he that endureth to the end. If you will take and get a hold in patience, the beginning of your confidence, and everybody say steadfast. If you will hold it to the end, you're going to partake of everything that's in the Lord. Brother Clark, what happens to people when they blow in here and blow out? You know what happened? They partook of the tree of salvation, but never stopped long enough to eat of the fruit of the Spirit. It's one thing to taste of God's glory and salvation, but it's another thing to stick around and start eating of the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit, my friend, is patience. It's an enduring spirit. It's something that says, you know what? I can love God now in the good times, and I can love God in the bad times. I can love God now while the sun is shining, and I'll love God while the darkness is swirling around me. Go ahead and read on. Let's read Hebrews 12 and 2.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him...
Who for the joy... Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Who for the joy that was set before him, what?
Endured the cross.
Endured the cross. Let me tell you something. Jesus understood the beginning to the end. He was the author. He is the author and the finisher of all things. And he understood there's a cross in my way, but I'm going to have the patience to endure through it. There is a very, very precious friend of mine who has, I suppose, in my time, have suffered as great as any saint of God that I know. He's also a minister. And this great, wonderful minister of God pastors one of the largest churches in the United Pentecostal Church. And he and I, when we get together and begin to talk, and we begin to talk about the things of God and how God has brought us through, sometimes it gets a little humorous, and it can get kind of heavy in that car. We're talking about all that we've been through, and he'll say, "No more. I can't take no more. I don't want to talk about it anymore." And we'll start laughing. We didn't always laugh, and we won't always laugh. But oh, when you understand where this cross is taking you, there is a joy that spills up from way down deep in your soul. I want you to know, King David said, "The deep calleth unto the deep." Most people's lives in God are like those little water spiders. You just see them zipping across the top of some placid lake on a hot summer day. And they don't know the depth of that water any more than about 1 inch under them, because they don't want to. All they're thinking about is staying on top of it. But you get those old deep, deep sea whales that go down deep in the heart of the ocean. They see depths that no one ever's been to as far as in the natural. Amen. Without some technological advanced mechanism. Those things go deep. They suck in an air and then they dive deep down deep in the ocean. There's a lot of people who said, "Don't bother me," and all they want to be is a little water spider. Amen. They don't want to know the depths of God. But David, in all of his suffering, said, "Whatever's happened to me, it's something deep way down in my soul that cries out to the depth of God Almighty." Folks, I'm going to tell you this now. You understand this. My God is not a shallow God. And people say they want to know God. I'm going to ask you this. Do you really want to know God? Now, we could be like a denominational church, and I tell you what, I believe that I could just get up and preach a beautiful message and tickle people's ears and have my deacons go out and stand on the front porch and light up. We'd have church like that. I believe I could do that. You think I could? I'd go crazy. because a deacon like that would drive me crazy. Amen. See, I said I wasn't going to get funny, but my God, I was getting too deep for some of you. I could see. Well, you was already sucking in air, man. I'd like that pastor in that car. Stop! I can't take any more. Amen. But let's go a little further. Let's go a little further. A lot of Pentecostal churches now hang from the rafters. And man, it's almost a zoo sometimes. But by Monday, there is nowhere near God. I remember two brothers talking one time, and we got visitors that are here, but hey, you go get the Holy Ghost tonight. You just let God have His way, so you'll be glad you're here tonight. Here it is. One of them said on Monday, said, talking about what God had done in the church on Sunday, and while he sipped from his coffee, said, please, no God stuff this morning. It's Monday. I don't want to hear anything about God. Well, I wonder what God was thinking about him on Monday. That's my child. I love my child. I love my child on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday. I love my child the first year. I love my child the fifth year. You see, God's not a shallow God, folks. And if we're going to have church in the dimension that God wants us to have church, where we're going to take that fruit of the spirit of patience, and we're going to take our time, and we're going to eat of it, and we're going to say, not my will, but thy will be done. You know where our problem is? I'm going to put it in a little nutshell, because the outward temperature affects the inward temperature. Let me give you just a little scenario here, and I want to be discreet. He jumps up in the morning, gets him a pop tart, and puts it in the toaster. Poof. Takes a bite of it and drinks a big old cup of caffeine. Gets his blood going. Runs out of the house and hardly even says goodbye to the children or the wife. It starts all day long in that drive and people screaming at one another at the job and smoke filling the atmosphere and all the cussing going on and then rushing home after a wild day at work and hardly saying a word to the wife, plopping down in front of the television, seeing all the murders and everything that's going on and filling his face again with whatever and hardly taking time with the children or the wife. And just living that kind of a life until finally he falls into a trap with a strange woman along the road. The Bible said her paths were strange. She leads you down to a strange house. Let me tell you something. A life lived in haste is a life that'll end up in hasty disaster. You know what's wrong with us? And you know why patience doesn't work in our life very much? You know why? And some of you that are not listening to me are some of the most impatient people that I know. You know why? You know why? Because we have moved from the rural America into the urban. Let me tell you about when we were once farmers. Let me tell you how patience works. You plow the field. You put the seed in. You weed it, and then you reap it. The work of bringing in a product from a field takes about 3/4 of the year. From the seed to food in your mouth, you spent 3/4 of the year working and laboring over it. But we don't have time anymore. And so we look at God like we do that microwave dinner. Feed me, God. And we don't even know what it's like to get our fingers in the soil anymore. And by the sweat of our brow. And we can eat of the fruit of somebody's labor that they've worked at. And we can gobble it up and take it in less than 5 minutes. And we're running again. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you work in this field of labor for God, it's going to take your time. And it's going to take your effort.
and you're going to expend some sweat. This is not a microwave church. This is putting your hands to the plow. This is pulling out the weeds. This is standing over the grain and telling the devil, you're not going to pluck up the seed of the Word of the living God. This is standing there saying, let patience work her good work in my life. God, do something inside of me that's going to take a lifetime of effort. Praise God. The reason why that person is not here tonight is because they've grown up getting everything they wanted and anything they wanted. And now God is telling them, I want something back in return. And there's where most of the Pentecostal churches are now, folks. That's why people are going to football games and baseball games. They say, we got to do something, man. Our minds we got to have an outlet somehow, some way. I mean, I may not own a TV, but if I can rent one, just to kind of get the pressure off of my mind. I'm so bogged down. If I could just have me a VCR movie after Brother Clark teaches, so. Have you ever thought about taking about 3 to 4 hours of praying in the Holy Ghost and staying there until your mouth is full of the fruit of patience? And saying, oh God, I don't know what it's going to take, but I want you to give me some stickability. Why don't you put my feet on the solid rock? Titus 2:11, Brother Kraft. There was somebody that told me about someone that they admired, and they had a dream about them. And in this dream, they saw the upper part of this great man of God. But under, they saw the rock. And in this dream, God let them know that this was that solid rock. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And said that that saint of God and that man of God was so buried in the Word of God and was so in tune with what God wanted, said that all you could see was the rock in the upper half of their body, because the lower part of their torso was so rooted and grounded in God. And when you saw them, you saw the rock. And when you saw the rock, you saw them. Folks, we're going to need this in this last hour. I said, we're going to need this in this last hour. Hey, if you just want to get blown about by every winds of doctrine, fine. I'm telling you, I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink. I'm your shepherd, and I can show you where the green pastures are. But if you want to break your neck and go ahead and go ahead and say it's greener on the other side and go, fine. I can't make you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you really want to make it, if you really want to survive, you're going to have to get grounded and rooted and say, nothing's going to shake me. Titus 2.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
14th verse.
Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Folks, God went through all this trouble to teach you how to say no. I said, God went through all of this trouble to give you the power to say no. And I've heard people say, you know, one thing I just can't say no. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said no to the devil. And he said, it is written. You're not going to tempt the Lord thy God, but him only shalt thou love and serve. Hallelujah. But we're lacking in patience, and it's getting us in trouble. You know where the battle really, really is fought? The devil is a wise, wise warrior. He understands that it's not in the big skirmishes. He understands that. It's in the little forays. He understands if you're going to bring a man down, hammer at the little things in his life. Because I'm telling you, friend, it's the little things that the devil finally drives you to the place of despair. Patience, it's not with the big things. It's with the little things. And patience needed the most is needed where it's not seen. We all can keep our composure when somebody's looking at us. It's from the church, generally. But it's when it's a sinner that's standing there in your face, and all you can think of is, I wonder what he would look like without a face. No eyes, no nose. I think I could do it. I think one punch right on that ugly chin would take care of this situation. But I'm going to tell you something. The scripture lets us know that here is the patience of the saints. He that liveth by the sword. Everybody listening to me. Let's stockpile guns. I'm going to blow them away, man. If you think Clinton's going to take my automatic away from me, he ain't seen nothing yet. I'll make Waco look like kindergarten play. Folks, let me tell you something. Everybody listen to your pastor. Everybody listen to me. We're headed into an hour now. You live by the gun and you will die by the gun. You're here to defend your family. That's not what I'm talking about. Everybody listen to me. Brother Clark, you're talking about civilized America. For how long? I said, for how long? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll just leave America and go to the high mountains of Peru. Oh, you will? Shining Path there waiting on you. In case you ain't heard Shining Path, friend, you don't want to meet them. They'll cut your tongue out, pull your eyeballs out, cut your heart out while you're still living. Shining Path happens to be some very violent communists. Well, I'll go somewhere. No, you're not going to flee violence in this last day. Herein is the patience of the saints. You better trust in God and have eaten of the fruit of the Spirit. Boy, I've lost a lot of you already. You know why? You're sitting comfortable and nice and easy. But I'm telling you, you're going to draw off of this kind of teaching one day, and you're going to say, God, help me to stand for what's right. Give me patience. Don't let me foul up, God. Don't let me mess up. Because the devil understands where the battle really, really is. And he knows how to work on us. You know, they call it modern conveniences to give us more time. I say we're so encumbered now. I have not learned how to work a computer yet. I am computer illiterate. I saw some of you look up there at me. That's right, I'm older than what you think. I am computer illiterate. You know why? It's going to take me so long how to learn how to do that ignorant thing. You're afraid of it. I ain't afraid of that thing. I can throw it as far as I can anything else. Not afraid of it. I can unplug it just like I can plug it in. But Jesus talked about the cares of life. And friend, we're being crowded in. I'm going to tell you what's going on. All this modern technology is overwhelming us. The Bible said in the last days that men will be increasing in knowledge, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It's because everybody's just wore out. So much going on in our life and so much happening. And you know where it's working the most on? You're not going to believe this, but it's the truth. It's working on our patience. We invented computers to help us, and when the computer goes wrong, we blow up. We go crazy. We rant and rave. Stupid computer. But let me tell you something. Let me apply that. That's going on in all of our life now. So, well, Brother Clark, you must be telling us to go back to horse and buggy days. I don't want to go back that far. Leave me with the automobile. But we all got to admit something's working on us. And I'm going to tell you, the devil is using what's going on in our world. Let me tell you a true story. It happened right here in Texas. It happened right here in Texas. And the gentleman was to speak at a Christian seminar meeting. So he was a Christian, quote unquote, and was one of the main speakers that day. The alarm clock didn't work. It didn't go off. Sounds like your mornings, doesn't it? But the only problem with you is you didn't set it. It didn't go off. So he woke up in a huff and a rush because the alarm didn't go off. So trying to hurry up and cut corners, he was trying to go a little quicker with a razor and sliced himself. So he had to take care of that stupid stuff. And finally got himself dressed, got all his materials together, and went running out of the house to the modern technology called the automobile. And it had a flat tire. This really did happen. When it rains, it pours. He fixed the stupid flat and said, I was raving all the way to that Christian meeting and never saw the stop sign. Boom! Went right through it, raving mad. And he said, I heard the policeman. He said, I jumped out of my mind and said, all right, just go ahead. Write me up a ticket. That's the way the rest of my day's gone. And the policeman walked up to him and said, you know, I used to have that kind of a life too before I gave my life to God. Brother Clark, that policeman didn't have the Holy Ghost. See, the policemen don't get the Holy Ghost. Yes, they do. We have law enforcement officers right here in this church living for God. You didn't know that, did you? They live for God. And here comes this policeman walking up saying, you know, I used to act like that too before I gave my life to God. Folks, I didn't mean to be this funny, but boy, it got serious here for a little bit for some of you. So I had to do something here and back off a little bit for you. But I'm going to go ahead and press the issue now. If you don't have patience in your life, then you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. You don't take one and leave out the other. I want joy, but I don't want patience and long-suffering. I'm telling you, it all comes together. Everybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let me make this statement to you. The spirit of the lack of impatience means you have a carnal spirit. The sinful nature is ruling in you. Brother Clark, I have a temper. I admit it. I confess it. And people are going to have to put up with that. Well, let me tell you this. We might have to endure it, but God doesn't have to. We have to live with you here in the earth, but I don't think we're going to have to live with it in heaven. If a person does not have patience, and they are short-fused, and they have a temper that is always blowing off, just put it in the book, they've never stopped at the tree of the fruit of the Spirit. And the sinful nature rules in their life. Those of you, if you will, turn there in your Bible back to Galatians. Pick up your pen. I want you to write these words down for me, if you will. Patience comes from the Greek word microthymia. Or maybe microthymia. Here's how you spell it. M-A-K-R-O-T-H-Y-M-I-A. Write that there in your out of your border. It's a compound word. It comes from two Greek words, makros, M-A-K-R-O-S. It means large, big, grand. And it goes with the Greek word for compound word of thymos, T-H-Y-M-O-S, means emotions, anger, or rage. This word, patience or long-suffering, is the result of the ability to contain and hold in check large quantities of emotions such as anger or frustration. I'm sorry, but I heard some of you say that sounds like great to me. I'm like a sieve, Brother Clark. I don't hold too much. But the word patience, in its full essence, do you know what it means? It does not mean that I weigh 350 pounds. But it means of the Spirit. God has given me the ability to hold on to a lot of anger and frustrations. But understand this. But it doesn't mean holding it until it hits a boiling point and you explode all over somebody. And while they run like a scalded dog, you said, I just reached my limits. And it was you I let it out on. That's not the true essence of patience. Patience in Jesus Christ means through the help of the Lord, you can endure and give glory to God. Really, that word really means is that you have recognized that there isn't always an instant answer. And there isn't always instant gratification. But sometimes, for some things, you just have to wait. That means you're able to hold on until God makes a way. Brother Clark, what if he doesn't make a way? He said, I will make a way. Well, there seemeth to be no way. Our problem is we don't have enough patience to wait on God. Can I tell you something? You hear me. Every great man or woman of God in the Bible had patience. And every failure, one of their number one flaws in the fabric of their life, was the lack of patience. They were impatient people. Brother Clark, if I knew I was going to be great, well, I could do these great things. I'm just a nobody, and so what's my little world of blowing my stack, ripping everybody off, and just being a nuisance? Let me tell you why. Everybody listen to me. He that is unfaithful, he that is faithful in a few things, God is going to make them ruler over many things. You people have heard me tell this statement, and you've heard me make this statement, and I'm making it again to you. I'm telling you, people are going to be shocked in the day when rewards are handed out. a lot of camp meeting preachers are going to have to step back to the back of the crowd. And little old grandmas, who is the very epitome of patience, ask them, say, come here, grandma. Boy, have I got a big one for you. You're going to be the king over this whole domain through the whole millennial. Grandma? Yes, sir. There are people that I believe that are sitting in this audience right now. I'm watching your life and knowing what you're going through. And so help me God, some of you who put yourself down the most, I'm telling you, if you only knew how much God believed in you. Folks, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Have I got anybody's attention tonight? Is anybody listening to me tonight? Do y'all need me to bring some tacks down there for you to sit on, or do I have your attention? I'm here to tell you this is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of progressing in God. I need to hurry on. So, all right. I understand now patience is pretty important. How do I attain patience? Please don't forget this is called the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to the Old Testament. How about turning to Numbers, the 14th chapter and the 18th verse, Brother Kraft, and Psalms 86 and 15, Brother North, and I want y'all to read this. Hey, if we're going to have patience, who do we get patience from? The Lord? Is that not true? He is the essence of our strength. Numbers, the 14th chapter and the 18th verse. If you have your Bibles, mark it and put it down there. Run this sequence through. People, I'm telling you, you're going to need this in the hour that is coming upon us. Read, please.
The Lord is long-suffering.
The Lord is long-suffering.
And of great mercy.
And of great mercy. How many... But love covers a multitude of sin. Hey, we didn't say hide. There's two different things.
Right.
If you hide iniquity, you're not going to prosper. I'm not here as a pastor to hide sin.
Right.
And you're not here as the saints of the living God to hide iniquity. But I'm telling you the power of the love of God is long-suffering. It's of great mercy. We need to understand the difference between the two. We're not here to let our brother continue in sin. But oh, if he sins and he fails, we're not here to kill him. We're here to have mercy on him. We're here to have patience and long-suffering, restoring him, lest we be overtaken in sin.
That's good.
Come on now.
That's
we're
good.
Not here in the hiding business. But love will cover a multitude of sin. But may I also make emphasis of this. There is a limit to patience. God finally says, I've had enough. And I'm moving on. But let me tell you something. In the church of the living God, we need the fruit of the spirit of patience. But God has also allowed us to put sin out of the camp. He told them through the writer Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, he said, you've got incest and fornication going on. It should not be named among you. Put it out. He has also given us the understanding of what patience really is. People think patience is just turning your head and saying, well, that poor brother or sister is just going to continue in sin. Oh, no. Oh, no. Patience is really true love in its essence. Of saying, hey, you've fallen. Let me help you up. But if a brother's going to continue on, he said, let one go to him and talk to him. And if he will not hear, let two go to him and talk to him. And if he will not hear, then bring him before the church and let him be cast out as a heathen. Now, we're going to put patience in its right perspective. God is a God of balance. You understand that, don't you? I believe God forgives in the altar. But if someone is going to continue on doing what they've been doing, after a while, patience says, God's Spirit will not always strive with man. Everybody understand? Everybody say hallelujah. Everybody take a deep breath. Oh, go ahead and blow out now. You can. Praise God. I want it to sink in tonight, folks. I want this teaching to really come into your heart. We're going to need it. All right, go ahead. We'll hurry. Psalms 86:15.
But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth.
Plenteous in mercy and truth. Proverbs 14:29 for the craft. Proverbs 16:32 for the north. Listen to what the Scripture has to say concerning man. Proverbs the 14th chapter and the 29th verse. Proverbs 14:29. Mark it in your Bible.
He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly.
Did you hear that? Read it again. Everybody listen up to this, please. If you have a Bible, look on with somebody. Get your Bible out and open it up. Look on, please. I want you to get this tonight. My God, I've got some people that are... They're just letting this go right over your head, and some of you are needing it the most. You're needing this in your life and dealing with one another, dealing with your mate, and dealing with people that you live with day by day. Read it again, please.
He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding.
Great understanding. Go ahead.
But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly.
If you don't have patience, your life is filled with folly. Listen to me. In your finances, in your responsibilities, in your dealings with people, in your dealings with the church, in your dealings with God, and your dealings with the pastor. I've got people come to me and with their broken up lives. It took years to get up there, and they say, fix it. Fix it. I'm going super glue. Who's got the super glue? I can't find the super glue. Listen, let me tell you something. Have patience with God. Everybody say amen. I said have patience with God. We'll move on quickly. Romans the 2nd chapter. Let's move into the New Testament. Romans the 2nd chapter and the 4th verse for the crowd. Then 2 Peter 3:9. Everybody say have patience with God. God is having patience with our life. Looking, please, at Romans, the 2nd chapter and the 4th verse.
Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Read it again.
Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness?
Riches of His goodness.
And forbearance. And long suffering.
Forbearance and long suffering.
Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Folks, all those are tied together. You're not going to separate. If a person's patient, they're going to have goodness and kindness. You find somebody who's impatient, and you're going to find somebody who's bitter, angry, no kindness, no sweet words. Anytime you're around them, all they do is cutting, jabbing, man, ripping, cutting. Oh, I can't live like that. I can't bear it. I can't bear that. I'm a man. I'm a man. I'm just a man. But I'll tell you what, I cannot bear to be around mean people. I just can't take it. I don't believe it ought to be in the home. I said I don't believe it ought to be in the home. I don't believe the parents ought to be mean to the children. I don't believe the children ought to be mean to the parents. I just like God's mercy, kindness. It all wraps up together. Can you say hallelujah? It really, really does. I'm going to skip over some things that are in here. And I'm just going to lightly touch it. Jesus talking about the servant who was forgiven much of 10,000 talents. And he was forgiven by the king. You know it? But when a man who owed him something was little, the Bible said he took him by the throat and choked him down and said, "You give me every penny that you owe me." Though it was only just a paltry sum. He said, "I'm going to throw you in jail." The king had patience on him, but he had no patience on anybody else. Jesus was teaching that if you want forgiveness from me and me to have patience with you, then whatever you do, have patience with everybody else. We scream to God, "Mercy, mercy." But when somebody else makes one little slip, we say, "No mercy. No mercy. Die." Sometimes God's army is the only soldiers who kill their own. I need you, you need me, we need each other. Everybody say patience. Amen. We all need patience. You're not turning to your Bibles, but Joel 2:25 says, and the Lord speaking says, "I will restore unto you what the locust hath eaten." Tonight, when I was praying concerning this, the scripture came to me. And I knew there were saints that are sitting here, and everybody listen up to your pastor now. Some of you have come in here broken and shattered. But I'm telling you, Joel 2:25 is coming to your life. God's going to restore what the locusts have taken. You know, one of the biggest questions I've had people just recently say, why? The realm of patience and impatience produces this one word more than anything else. Why? Why so long? Why is this happening? Why? Why are the locusts coming? Why am I being devoured? What's going on? When is this going to stop? Because it's in our... We don't mean to be impatient. But we don't understand God. He is a patient God, and He's letting things work in our life. Why is all this happening to me? Did you know down in South Africa, they have what is called the Year of the Locust? Has anybody ever studied that or read about that when the locusts come? Folks, when the locusts come, they literally blot out the sky. Did you know that? You cannot even see the sun. The locusts come so mightily and blot out the sun. You know what they do in that year? They literally eat everything that would give life and substance to those people in South Africa. Devour it from one end of the nation to the other. And they don't stop until they've eaten every green thing. The people suffer for one whole year. But guess what's happening? Those locusts that have eaten the vegetation die, fall to the earth, and become fertilizer. And through the winter, something is working in the earth. And when the cold winds quit blowing and the plow is dug deep, there is rich ground. And they always have the biggest harvest after the year of the locust. The end of Job was 10 times greater than the beginning of his years of trial. Come on, folks. If you can only endure, the same shall be saved. I'm telling you, the thing that's hurting you the most will become fertilizer and will bring fertile ground to your very spirit. And I'm telling you, it'll make something out of you. It's jails and prisons and eggs in the face and rotten tomatoes and railings and passants saying, "Give it up or die." And you hang on. There's a work that's happening while the cold winds are blowing. Let the year of the locust come on. I'm telling you, it's going to come down. Rejoice not over me, O mine enemy, for I will arise. Come on, some of you not got it yet. And I won't take much longer, but I've got to somehow put this word in you tonight. The fruit of the Spirit of patience will produce in your life a bountiful harvest. But Brother Clark, the locusts and the destruction is too much. The sun is darkened. But I'm going to tell you something. When the sun hid herself at Calvary, there was a work going on. And Jesus was enduring that cross because He knew what patience was going to bring Him. Some of you are in your locust years. Because the rose of Sharon is going to bloom. And the lily of the valley is going to spring forth. And the wheat is going to fill the floor. Hallelujah. And the bread of life, you're going to eat from it again. I've learned this one thing. Hear me now. There's going to come a balance to all things. I've been living for God a quarter of a century. And I've learned how to hang on and hang in and have patience on God. Because after a while, it's going to work its way through. Praise God. You want me to stop? Can I go just... Can I go just a little bit more? Well, how much more is it? I ain't telling you. But I've got to put this in. There was a young man who lost his wife to a stroke. He was smitten and couldn't move for a year. According to the story, he was so diseased and paralyzed that he couldn't speak. And for over 1 year, this man suffered. And then he suffered great rejection and many heartaches. So Brother Clark, he must have been a very, very ungodly man. No, his name was Ezekiel. Ezekiel the prophet, the great man of God, lost his wife to a stroke and was paralyzed for a year and couldn't speak. Right. Pick up the Word of God. Let's turn to Ezekiel 22 and 14. I want you to hear what came out of this man's trials. To hear the Word of the Lord. You listen to what God was talking to him. Folks, don't you miss this. Get your red pen out. Get your marker out. And you put what come out of this one. Ezekiel 22 and 14, Brother Kraft.
Can thine heart endure?
Can thy heart have patience? Go on.
Or can thine hands be strong?
Can you take it? Can you make it? Go on.
In the days that I shall deal with thee.
In the days that I shall deal with thee. May I tell you something, friend? Patience, number one, will bring discipline to your life. It'll bring discipline. Let's all turn to the book of Hebrews. Everybody. Let's go on over to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I want to read something to you here about the work of God and the patience that works in your life. Hebrews 12 and 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? 9th verse. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, or according to what they thought. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Come on now, are we His children or are we not His children? And when the suffering comes, hallelujah, God will make a way and something is happening in your life. It'll give you discipline. It'll make you a soldier for God. Number two, it'll bring development in your life. James Monroe, President of the United States of America. He held 2 terms, 8 years. Anybody know much about his life? Anybody tell me much about his life? I can't get much out of you. James Monroe. Anybody tell me about James Monroe? 8 years? Anybody know anything outstanding in his just? Nobody knows anything, huh? You know why? James Monroe lived in those 8 years with no crisis. You know what the historians have titled James Monroe's 8 years? It's called the Era of Good Feeling. Go back in the history books. Historians call the presidency of James Monroe the Era of Good Feeling, because there were no crises. Here's how they judge great presidents. They go by this criteria. The crisis that was in his life, in his presidency, and in the nation, and how did he handle it? That ain't fair, Brother Clark. Then why does Abraham Lincoln hold such high reverence as one of the greatest presidents of all time? James Monroe was a man and a president, just like Abraham Lincoln. But the era of good feeling never meets the criteria. Crisis, 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 patience, endurance, stickability, hanging in. Let me tell you something, friend. Abraham Lincoln became a great president because he faced the splitting of a nation. And he knew how to take everything thrown his way and put himself like a man. Anybody know about Abraham Lincoln? Gettysburg Address? Emancipation Proclamation, saving of the Union. Anybody ever heard the name Abraham Lincoln? I'm going to tell you something, friend. It will work development in your life. Joseph had patience. And I will finish with this. Not only will patience work discipline and development, but it'll give you direction. If you really want direction in your life, and God to talk to you, I'm going to tell you how God will talk to you. How many remember when Moses left the children of Israel and walked up the mountain? Does anybody remember it? Lift up your hands if you recall the incident. May I ask you this, please? When he walked up that mountain, coming face to face with God, will you tell me what the weather report was at that time? Nobody has an accurate weather report on top of the mountain. Nobody remembers? Sunshine, correct? Do you know God talked to Moses in the darkness and in the lightning and in the thunder? And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said Moses walked into it. she walked into it. Because he was going to meet God. I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me. Some of you have taken this real lightly tonight. And you've had yourself a little three-ring circus, but you listen to me. There's things and times coming. And you play your little games. And you live your little shallow life. And you play your little Pentecostal calisthenics. But you listen to me. When God begins to move, He's going to talk to people who know what the dark valleys and the dark mountains and the hard times are like. Because He's going to draw people to Him that are accustomed to the old rugged cross. A lot of Pentecostals are just, ha 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 ha. It's a big joke. They're turning into charismatics every day. They're just kind of like foam on the beach. But you look beyond that foam and you'll see a whale out there that knows how to plumb the depths of the deep ocean. The work of God in your life is no wider or deeper than the cross that cuts a swath through your spirit. Little cross, little God. Big cross, big God. Little patience, little knowledge. A lot of patience. And God can talk to you.
He leads me beside those still waters.
Herein is the patience of the saints. Praise God.
Somewhere in the valley below, then He draws me aside to be tested and tried. But in the valley He restores my soul. He leads me beside still waters. But it's in the valley He restores my soul.
Would you sing it with her now and let's love the Lord together, oh God.
He leads me,
oh God,
beside those still waters.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
But it's in the valley He restores my soul.
Praise God, praise God.
He leads me beside still waters.
In the name of Jesus.
Somewhere in the valley below. and He draws me aside to be tested and tried. But in the valley, in the valley,
listen to me tonight. The Lord's doing a work for this church to get us ready. But you listen to me. Some of you have grieved the Spirit of God tonight. No organ. I want a perfectly quiet still in here. And I want you to listen to me. You listen to me closely. Some of you have grieved the Spirit of the Lord this night. God wanted to do something great in this lesson tonight. I've taken longer tonight than I ever take to teach. You know it. But there was something God's wanting to do here tonight to get this church ready. There are some people in here that owe me an apology. And you owe God an apology for your foolishness. And for your folly this night. And I pray this, that God will have mercy on your foolishness this night. And if that angers you and makes you mad, then you don't even understand the ways of God. But there has been foolishness that has gone on here tonight while God wanted to move. Well, Brother Clark, I'll tell you what, I'm a leader in the church and I'm not taking that off of you. Will you hear, thus saith the Lord? I don't care what you were laughing about. There was a seriousness in this service tonight. We are living in the last days. And if you can come to God's house while the bread of life is being broken and talk and yak and laugh and play and goof off, you're further away than what I thought. And you're my leader. We're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. Well, Brother Clark, it was funny. Let me tell you something. You listen. The Spirit of the Lord is in this building. And there's a time for all things. And God is moving. And there's some people that cannot leave this place tonight until they understand my suffering is not without a purpose. You people don't know what it's like to be a pastor. I needed some of you to pull with me tonight. There are people in here hurting and going through it. And God's talking to us. There's a reason for all this. We're fixing to have the greatest revival that I've ever seen in all my life. But I'm telling you, the year of the locust is about to bring its harvest. The ground is fertile, folks. Who wants it? I want you to lift your hands one more time. And we're going to pray and love the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Sweet presence of the living God, I want you to heal the broken heart. I want you to restore the years that the locusts have taken. My God, restore. Let it be a bountiful harvest. Let it be bountiful. Oh God, I'm hurting for them. Oh God, the tears are going to water the ground. Come on, some of you, plow up the ground.
that the church of the most is going to bring forth the harvest. Would you just reach over and pray for one another right now? Oh, mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the valley,
He restores my soul.
Oh, my God, my God, my God.
He leads me beside the
water. He'll come on a little more, Santa Yana, a
little more. And He draws me aside,
oh God,
to be tested and tried.
Oh God, oh God.
But in the valley, He restores my soul.
Lord, I have pastored 7.5 years here. And I've never known your people to hurt like this much. Sister Della's laying in that hospital. Brother Nash had open heart surgery. Sister Lancaster's going through pain. God, I'm sorry some people didn't catch this today. But oh God, the year of the locust. Heal the people. Restore the people. Come on, fall to the earth. Come down, your power. Woo! Fertile ground for revival. Fertile ground for revival. Can something good come from a hospital bed? Can something good come from tears of sorrow? Heal your people. Woo!
Keep your
love. Come on, church. Live, Sister Della, live. Somebody get a hold of God. I feel it. I feel it so strong. Woo.
Somewhere in the valley below.
The year of the locust is going to pass. I feel restoration.
Jesus leads us.
I feel healing. Help me, church.
He draws us aside to be tested and
purified.
In the valley, He restores us. Oh, yes, He does. He beside all the still waters. Somewhere in the valley below, he draws us aside to be tested.
Let the year of the locust pass. My God. Come on, church. Let the year of the locust pass. Bible spring up.
To be tested at
your
right, but in the valley, in endurance, my soul. Yes, he chose us to be.